We're in the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, so it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God, we come before you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this letter. We thank you that it is written for us today, and we desire to glean exactly what you have for us in it today. Holy Spirit, come and fill this humble servant of the Lord God Almighty, that I may be a useful vessel for him to pour out of today. Minister to his people across the land. God, I just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to teach your word. Holy Spirit, I know, I acknowledge, I confess, without you I can do nothing. So may you receive all the honor and the glory today. Almighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We remember, as we started this study, that it was 3 weeks that the Apostle Paul had spent with this church. There was no church when he came there. So when he came to Thessalonica, he went to the local synagogue, and from there, those who believed his message about the Lord Jesus Christ, he founded a church, and he taught them for the 3 weeks that he was there. He appointed leaders of this church, and at the urging of the brethren, because of the persecution that was coming upon the new believers, Paul was asked to leave. They asked him to leave, not because they did not love him or did not want him there, but because they didn't want anything to happen to them or to come against the new church. Paul writes now. He's writing this letter. Remember, this is a letter. It's not, when Paul wrote it, it did not have chapter or verse, but it was a letter. It was a whole letter. And he writes to the young church, a pastoral letter, concerning his desire to return and to see them, to teach them, Paul is always desiring to return to see how the churches are doing, the ones that he's planted. And he wants to know the state of their being, their state of their walk with the Lord. And Paul always wants to give them comfort. He lets them know that he prays for them. All of these things he's including in this letter. And in the final closing of his letter to the church, we see that he begins with talking to them about the times and the season. We know that the times is a measurement of time, and seasons, it means the suitable nature of time. So he says, brother, I don't need to write to you concerning these things. There's no need in that. Because in the 3 short weeks that he was there, this church was taught, and they were taught very well, compared to the church, so many of the churches today, I won't say all, but I will say so many of the churches today, that we have no idea that so many in the church have not heard of times and seasons and to be aware of what is going on. They've never heard of a message on the return of Jesus and the prophetic scriptures. Paul thought that this was important. More than teaching your best life now, he thought it was more important than establishing children or a youth entertainment program. He thought it was more important than separating men and women and having ministries for each. He thought it was more important than a building project. He wanted them to understand the very times that they lived in. Remember, persecution had already come against them. But the question for you today, as you listen to this, as you've gone through this, is that they knew the prophetic times they lived in. But do you? Now you ponder on that and you think on that. They could discern the seasons of their present culture. Can you? You ponder on that also. I can't answer that for you. That is something that you take with you after we have finished this and you begin to think on those things. Would Paul be shocked today at the lacking of teaching, at the lack of teaching on the return of Jesus, how important it is, and the lack of importance that it is to the church leaders? It is so important for the church, but the church has made it irrelevant. They've put no importance on the times and the seasons. And when I say that, I'm not saying the entire church. I'm saying that there are so many today who are in the church and who've been in the church most of their life, and they've just not heard this type of teaching. I want you to remember that Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day because they could not discern the times, the signs of the times. We look to the scriptures to reveal the times and the seasons that we are living in, not to the news of the day that's going on in the world. Everything must be seen through the lens of scripture. If you're going to listen to the news, if you're going to look at the culture, if you look at the trends, you look at the things that are happening, you need to go back to scripture and see what God says about all of those things. And you will be able to discern. Paul says that the day of the Lord, in verse 2, where he's talking about the day of the Lord, he tells them, he says, for you yourselves know perfectly. The day of the Lord is not a single day, but it is a season. The day of the Lord is when God will judge his enemies. It is Jesus judging the earth, returning in glory, and establishing his kingdom. They understood that they couldn't know the day of Jesus' return, but to be looking for it. Listen, it will come as a surprise upon the world, but not to his people, because we're looking and we're discerning the times and the season. And the church at Thessalonica, because they were seeing the times and seasons through God's word, He said, you will know, you know perfectly well. I don't have to go into this with you again. I've taught you on this. And so you understand. But the question today for you, will you be surprised as will the world at his coming? Are you able to discern the times and the season to know? I'm not telling you to know the exact date because he says we don't. But we can discern the times and the seasons. God wants his people prepared for the day. In verse 3, look around at the times and the seasons of our world. The world is crying out for peace and safety. I have never known in all of these years of my life such a cry in the world. And I want you to understand that right now there is one standing in the wings of the world stage who will step forward and say, I can give you peace. I can give you safety. I can take care of you. I can provide for you. He will be the answer to the world. This will be historic and tragic for the world when he steps forward. Because remember, no man can give peace and safety. It only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're able to discern the times and the seasons, you will know. You will be able to discern this, and you will be able to see. And Paul says that they're going to cry out for peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes upon them. The world will clap and sing and party and toast this ruler and be lulled into a false sleep by political and economic promises, but will be suddenly awakened in great labor pains. They will not escape their destruction. At first, pain. It will be maybe a sharp or a twinge for women who have gone into labor. You understand that. And I've had different experiences with labor pain. I've had it where it came on slowly, and then I have been gone into labor in a most painful. It would seem that it was as though the child would be delivered then. And so there are different intensities with it, and it can come on intensely and then still just linger, and it can come on with a twinge. But all will know that there is no escape from this. It will go to full term. That's why Paul is comparing it as a pregnant woman. Because once a woman goes into labor, she will continue until there is a delivery. It will become more intense, and the intensity will increase in length and in time. And at last, giving birth. No escape, no peace, and no safety. And verses 4 and 5, this day will be darkness to the world. But Paul reminds them that they are children of the light. Children of the light. 1 Peter 2:9 reads, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were all in darkness until we are saved, until we are born again. And the world who rejects Christ is still in darkness. This is what Paul is explaining here to the brethren. Our eyes have been opened to see. So we see. We are not sleeping as the world is sleeping in a stupor. The world rejects the light of the Word of God. They reject his Son, Jesus Christ. So thus their sleep and their drunkenness spiritually, that's what Paul is talking about, spiritually, not being able to discern the times and the seasons, looking for a man to save them. That's what the world is always talking about. In verses 8 through 11, Paul is given here. He tells them, he says, that you are to put on the breastplate of faith. Paul is giving them the image of a soldier wearing his armor. And a soldier wears his armor when he is in a battle, not when he is at rest. He has his full armor on when he is standing guard and he's watching. We, the church, should always be ready. We are to always be ready because our enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The day of the Lord will be God's appointed day to pour out his wrath on the unbelieving world, not on us. That day is not for any who have trusted in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He bore the wrath of God and carried it away from me and all who humble themselves before his cross and cry out for forgiveness. We are assured of our salvation through Jesus Christ for eternity. Let me just read verses 9 through 10 again. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Paul is telling them, he says, that you should comfort one another with the fact that you have salvation in God. Wrath is not stored up for you, that you are going to live with him. If you have loved ones who believed in the Lord, put their trust in the Lord, and they are in a grave, and if you are here walking on the earth, Paul says, rest assured, whether they're there and you're here, we should live together with him, whether we wake or sleep. That is our promise. And so those who've gone before us, we will be with them as we are with the Lord forever. And he wants them to comfort one another and edify one another with this. If you recognize the times and the seasons, church, if we stop coming together, how are we able to do this? It's so important for the church to continue, no matter what the world's trying to do, no matter how the world is trying to stop us from coming together, no matter what they are trying to do to us. If it is secretly, however, we are to come together, here in the West, we're going to learn how to be the church like they've done in countries that have been under persecution, that have been forbidden to meet. That is something that we're learning, and we're going to learn that. And we will recognize then how important it is to be with the other brothers and sisters, that we may comfort and that we may be comforted. Paul, in the rest of the letter, as we look at starting at verse 12, Paul is instructing on various things here. He truly is a shepherd. Paul is, we know he's an apostle. But he also goes and he plants churches, and they are like children to him. Even though he's not there, he wants to continue to instruct them. If they bring their needs to him, he wants to answer their questions. But he is always desiring to know their state. And he may have thought, I want to remind you of this, or this is something that you should be doing. Paul is instructing on the various things here as he's closing out this letter. Paul is instructing the church to recognize the leaders who are laboring. Recognize their authority as shepherds. Recognize that they are there to admonish, to caution, correct, or to warn the believers, the church. He says, esteem them, respect them highly in love for their work's sake. Paul says, look, they've had to lay aside everything to do this work concerning you spiritually. So give them the respect that they're due. They are called by God to work for you and for your family. And so Paul wants you to be able to listen to them. And he's admonishing the church here to do that. And then we see that he wants this letter is going to be read to every church. Remember that it was not just an isolated church that it would be read to, because eventually, look, we are reading this and it is for us today. This letter has been circulating for almost 2,000 years. And it's for every Christian who has read it, for every church that has read it. Paul instructs the church to stand with the pastor leaders, warning the unruly It's the Christian's duty. Listen, the word unruly means self-willed. So when you have that in the church, Paul says, church, come together and stand. And you admonish them. You need to come alongside the rulers, when the leaders of the church, when you have an unruly brother or sister in the church. It is your duty to do this also. He says for them to give comfort to the faint-hearted. And literally, that means the timid and fearful. It means to help strengthen them. Uphold the weak. It's meaning to help them build their own strength instead of perpetuating their weakness. Listen, you want them to be able to come to a place where they can stand on the rock themselves. We always need one another. But you cannot always be so weak in your walk that you continually give in to the things that have been a snare to you. You want to see that person grow beyond that. So come alongside them and help them through that. Be patient. Oh, how we all need to be patient with one another. Everyone is not like me, thank the Lord. Everyone is not like you, thank the Lord. Everyone is not like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. God is a God of uniqueness. And He has created us all unique and different. Even though we're like sheep. And so we all have different personalities. You don't look at a person's personality and judge their salvation. Their salvation is the work of Christ in them, and God doesn't take away their personality. If it's a sharp personality, God's going to work on that personality to cause it to soften. If it's a rude personality, God's going to work in all of those things to bring them, to cause them to look more like Him. But if you can't be patient with them, are you reflecting the image of Christ in your life? And so He wants us to be patient with one another. If someone is so bold, but you are not, don't be resentful of that. Let God do the work that He needs to do in each one of us. Look at them and see Christ in them. See what God sees in them. And He tells them that, you know, we're not to give evil for evil. Scripture says that vengeance belongs to the Lord. We are to always forgive. And pursue means to run after good for all that is concerned. We are to pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. For all those, we are to pursue good. He tells them as He's closing out, He says, rejoice, pray, and give thanks always. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for the church, for us. This is the will of God. Highlight this for you and write the will of God so that you know what the will of God is. And you don't have to ask that question again. Paul instructs them. He says, do not, five things he tells them. He says, do not quench the spirit. Do not quench the spirit that's within you, and do not do it in another brother or sister. Allow the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in a person and allow Him to be expressed. Do not despise prophecies. You may not want to hear it, but do not despise prophecy. He says to test all things because we know that there are wolves that come in. And so we want to test all things against the Word of God. Hold fast what is good. The things that are good, we want to hold on to those. Abstain from every form of evil. I think it's interesting the way Paul wrote this. Abstain from every form of evil. I don't have to explain that. You understand that. I want you to take these five things and sit and ponder. Chew on these things. as you listen to the message, and then you go back and you read this for yourself, and you sit down and you write these five things down, I want you to sit and ponder these five instructions that Paul has given to the church. And then the last five verses, Paul is telling, he is closing with prayer and a blessing to the church. And he asks that the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. When we're in this world, we are body, soul, and spirit. But when we are born again, we are spirit, soul, and body. He said, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that he's talking about. He's talking about the return. When he was there with them, he talked about Jesus coming back again, coming back for us. He said he's gone away. He's gone to prepare a place. And if he's gone to prepare a place, he surely is going to return. Just as he came the first time, he said he was coming. There was an appointed day for his coming. There is an appointed day for his return. And we are going to be preserved for that and kept for that. What does that do to your heart and your mind and your thoughts to know that we're preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Paul is such an encourager and letting them know. And he asks for their prayer. He needs their prayer. He's not so proud or boastful. He doesn't say, oh, I'm the Apostle Paul. I don't need your prayers. I'm so great. He says, brethren, pray for us. And he tells them to greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. He says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen and amen. I know that this was a short message, but I think so much of this is so self-explanatory. If you just take the time and you sit down and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me. He will open this up to you. Hopefully what I've done is been able to give you something to build on and let the Lord just minister to you. Amen. Amen.